For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Well, this is the worst Chicago Bears loss since last week. The Bears get blown out ultimately and embarrassed in so many different ways by the Arizona Cardinals on the road. Final score, Arizona 29, Bears 9, as we do officially welcome you into the Take the North podcast along with the Chicago Tribune's Dan Wiederer, who is in Arizona right now, and me, Mark Grody. I am back in Chicago. And Dan, I mean, like, the biggest thing that we've been talking about as it pertains to this game, after all that went on last week with the botched defense on the Hail Mary, with Tyreek Stevenson, with the captain speaking out, with the criticism of the coaches, it was all about how the Bears would respond in this game, because we all know they needed wins. And Wiederer, they failed. They failed badly to come up with any kind of acceptable response to everything that's been going on at Halas Hall.
Yeah, somebody asked me late in the week what would happen if the Bears lost this game in Arizona, and I said it depends on how they lose it. Well, they lost it in embarrassing fashion. This was a stinker today. They were out-coached, out-hustled, out-schemed, out-strategized, out-everything today, and it was an embarrassing loss for a team that wanted to show the outside world that they were tight and together and ready to put their best foot forward after that turbulent week that they went through. And now they've got another turbulent week ahead, because you know what's going to happen in Chicago this week. There's going to be a lot of flus under fire talk on the airwaves in Chicago. There's going to be a group of players in the locker room searching for answers yet again. And you've got a football team now that's 4-4 with a winnable game next week against the Patriots. But beyond that, a schedule that has a lot of teeth to it. And so now all of a sudden you feel the season slipping away from you. And that, I think, is the most daunting thing here. Oh, by the way, Mark, we can get to this in a few minutes. The injuries are piling up as well. Darnell Wright leaves the game with a knee injury. That's a injury worth keeping an eye on in the early parts of the week. The Bears are bracing for the worst with Andrew Billings, the defensive tackle who left the game with a pec injury. Terrell Smith left the game with an ankle issue. Jalen Jones left the game with a shoulder issue. We were already without Brisker and Gordon. Oh, by the way, Montez Sweat didn't play today. So I don't know how you leave this building here in Arizona on Sunday night, how you close the book on this week 9 loss and have any sort of good vibrations or optimistic feelings about this Bears team right now.
Yeah, and I will just tell you too that a tweet from, as long as we're talking about, then we'll, trust me, we'll discuss everything about this game. We will dig deeply into it, and we'll talk about Matt Eberflus more here in just a second, because Dan's right. That is, I could already tell on social media, that's the topic right now. So Dan and I will give our opinions on that. But from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Bears right tackle Darnell Wright was ruled out today with a knee injury, believed to have suffered an MCL sprain based on initial tests. A source said this, again, according to Ian Rappaport, he'll have an MRI on Monday to determine the severity. So yeah, just perfect. Maybe, and I don't even know how, if Darnell Wright has been that great this year, but maybe your steadiest offensive lineman throughout the year, and he has played through some injuries throughout this year as well. So all sorts of issues along the offensive line. But let's start with Matt Eberflus. And, you know, there was, and we'll break this down, but there was, again, it couldn't have been worse timing, but a 53-yard touchdown run by Nari DeMarcado at the end of the first half, 3rd and 5, 10 seconds to go in that first half, and he blasts off for 53 yards, 4 seconds left on the clock at the end of that to make it 21-9 Arizona heading into halftime. And that was just a killer. Now, Matt Eberflus said at halftime on CBS that he called a pass pressure. He said that that's on me. And that was his whole theme. It was very different this week in terms of culpability. Well, right, Dan? I mean, it just seemed like he learned his lesson that not taking responsibility is a bad idea.
Yeah, he got the message. You got to own it. And in this case, I actually don't think he needs to own that particular play as much as he did.
I agree.
To his credit, he stood up and took the accountability for that, and they'll get that looked at as we go forward. The Bears are obviously trying to get out of that half without allowing a field goal to the Cardinals, and they send a little bit of a pressure, but it wasn't some sort of zero blitz where everyone was there. There were plenty of defenders capable of making a play on the football. Seven guys that didn't rush the passer on that play. None of them laid a finger on Amari DiMarcado. That can't happen. Jalen Johnson's got to funnel that ball back to the inside. TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds got to get themselves off of blocks. Kevin Byard and Elijah Hicks have to take angles to that. And that guy has to be on the ground. At the very least, he has to be touched. He can't just sprint 53 yards for a backbreaking touchdown because, as you mentioned, that was the trapdoor in this game. The Bears never recovered, Mark, and it was 21-9 at halftime, and they came out in the second half and couldn't get anything going. This is an offense that, this offense just didn't ever find the flow, you know, and when you're chasing a big deficit in a road game like this with a rookie quarterback who, as we talked about on Thursday and Friday, was going to be facing some exotic looks from the Cardinals defense, you're in big trouble. And they were in big trouble. And so, look, man, like I leave that locker room again tonight just being like, we've done this before. I cannot believe we're doing this again with this team that is now vowing to stick together and they're going to find the answers. We've done this before. We've seen this happen. TJ Edwards said this wasn't us today. And I would say au contraire, you know, the sloppy tackling against the run, that has been you at times this year. The slow starts, the scoreless first quarters, that has been you before this year. The inability to win on the road, that has been you for three seasons under Matt Eberflus, who's now 3-18 in road games as a Chicago Bears coach. So that is who you are. You have to prove to us that you are something different because this is who you are.
Pretty fitting that the Bears are who you think they are, Dan Weider, being that the backdrop is the Arizona Cardinals, where the Dennis Green speech became so famous. I agree with everything you said. Yeah, nice of Matt Eberflus to take responsibility. Maybe it was easy for him to take responsibility on the 53-yard play because he knew that was probably the right defensive call, which I think it was. And, you know, even talking to Dave Wannstedt, he said, absolutely, that is not something that you can necessarily critique Matt Eberflus on. Something you can critique Matt Eberflus on is the fact that he had Caleb Williams in the game the end, which was absolutely ridiculous. I was watching the game on television. Charles Davis, the color commentator, before the drive even started, as Caleb Williams trots out there, is basically saying, what are they doing putting this guy out there? And then sure enough, there's a play where he tweaks his ankle, he gets up, he's limping around. I know that he walked toward, and I'll let you fill in some of the blanks here, but I know that he walked towards the locker room. It didn't look like he was limping at that point, but what was crazy was, well, first of all, Matt Eberflus said that the reason that they left him in was he's getting work out there. But Kate, and I need you to see how you feel about this, Dan, but Caleb Williams basically said, that's not my decision, that's up to the coaches, when he was asked about it. And here was my opinion on all that. I thought the reason Caleb Williams was still in there is because maybe Caleb Williams imposed his will and said, no, you're not going to stop me from going out there. You know, he's Caleb Williams. He's his competitor. He's the number one overall pick, pride on the line. I thought he wanted to finish what he started. I don't think Caleb Williams wanted to go back out there. And he sort of said it without saying it by saying the old, that's not my decision, that's up to the coach. How did you see that? Because you were there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, once Clayton Tune is taking snaps for the Cardinals, you know that it's garbage time, right? And you have to assess the situation. It's the same thing with the Doug Kramer handoff a week ago. You have to understand the game that you are in. You're getting blown out. Your two starting offensive tackles are out of the game. Your quarterback has been under pressure for most of the last two quarters, and you're going to throw him out there hoping to get timing in the two-minute drill? You know, I get it. He's a young rookie quarterback who needs experience in these moments, but he also doesn't need to walk out of here with a torn Achilles. You know, and on that second to last play where he gets up and he gets hit kind of awkwardly from behind and you see the ankle tweaked and you're like, oh my God, like, could this possibly happen where they make something that's already terrible way, way worse? I would be stunned if Ryan Poles didn't have a conversation before he left the locker room tonight with Matt Eberflus saying, listen, don't ever do that again. You understand that that's the future of the franchise here. We're down by 20 points in a game where our offensive line is beat up, and you're going to subject him to the potential of a serious injury. Cannot happen, right? And these are the things that just keep adding up where as much as the Bears will talk about in that locker room having the right guys in there and the right leaders and we're all bought in, this was not the performance today of a team that was fully bought in. This was not the performance of a team today that was sharp. This was not the performance of a team that is going to be able to just kind of yawn through week 10 and expect to beat the Patriots next week. They are not good enough to do that. And so I look like you're 4-4. You are staring upwards at an NFC playoff picture that seems like it's 5 miles away right now, and you're making mistakes in every facet of the game, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, overall management. What direction do you want to go? You know, and so here you are now at a crossroads, at a point where there's a ton of anxiety in this season, and you got to get it figured out.
Yeah, and Dan, similar to you, when people have asked me, is the locker room lost this week? And my answer was no. They're 4-3. And quite frankly, my answer was, it's similar to yours. Like if they lose in horrible fashion, then we'll start to amp it up a little bit. They lost in horrible fashion. But for me, it's the trilogy. If they lose to that New England game, if they complete the horrible trilogy, then there's a problem. Like I can't say that this team is lost when they're 4-4. Playoffs, like, I can't really think about that at the moment, but I am just looking at a team having a winning season right now, a positive season, which I think has been really the goal for this year, more than even playoffs. Again, Dan, it goes back to the theme of the since you and I started doing the show together. It's more about the way they win, the way their season goes, the way their quarterback develops. Does your defense get to a top five spot? And right now, none of that stuff is happening right now. I mean, it feels like your quarterback's development actually has been stunted, quite frankly, Dan.
These last two games have been troubling from that perspective, because we left London feeling like Caleb Williams was climbing the staircase toward the escalator, right? And so you had these feelings like, oh man, they scored 10 touchdowns in two consecutive games, you know, and offensively they seemed like they had things unlocked, and the last 2 weeks it's been a mess. You know, we talked throughout the week about this Cardinals defense not being a great defense, but doing some things that could really challenge a rookie quarterback. And they did that today. And Caleb never got in a flow. When they did get in a rhythm, they'd get themselves in trouble with you know, penalties and sacks and Keenan Allen dropping a pass in a big moment. And it just, it was ugly across the board. You get a safety down by your own goal line because of a penalty in the end zone on DeAndre Swift. Not a lot to write home about. You had one big long pass play to Roma Dunze early, but three field goals is not going to get it done in games like this. And meanwhile, the Cardinals are running wild. Anyway, we'll stick with Caleb for right now before I get into the topic of James Conner looking like a mechanical bull way he was throwing guys off of him for much of the afternoon on his way to 107 yards. But yeah, the Caleb thing has got to get sorted out soon. And you're going to have to find ways to make him productive and make him comfortable, even without the full strength offensive line, because we don't know when Braxton Jones is going to be back. From what you just said with the Ian Rappaport tweet, we don't know if Darnell Wright will be available to play against the Patriots. So you better troubleshoot, you know, and Shane Waldron, Matt Eberflus, everyone involved in that offense better find ways to get that quarterback in position.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mission to succeed.
Yeah, and you know, again, the first drive of the game, you know, the first quarter has been a huge bugaboo for the Bears. The first drive has been a problem for Caleb Williams, and it started well. There was a 17-yard completion to Roma Dunze. DeAndre Swift, they were using him very well in the running game, in the passing game. They got the ball all the way down to Arizona's 30. Like, you got into field goal range, and then along comes a 3rd-and-8 first down pass to DJ Moore, called back on a Larry Borum hold, and then
illegal formation. It was illegal formation.
Okay.
It was simply not lining up correctly, right? And that costs you a first down in field goal range, and it costs you, you know, essentially 3 points.
Yeah, well, and then Caleb sacked taking that sack back at the 50-yard line. I have to go back and see if that, if maybe Caleb could have eluded that. And I think it just, as the game went on, it was almost like Caleb had just given up. He was sacked six times in the game. So once again, you've got, and you're right, Keenan Allen didn't do it. And Keenan Allen was targeted more than anybody in this game today. A bad drop. You had a pass to Roma Dunze that went through his hands at one point in time that I thought he should have caught. And I hate to put any kind of negative slant on the 44-yard pass to Roma Dunze, but that was simply a completely blown coverage by Arizona on that play. That's a play that if you don't make, then something horrible has happened. But again, they didn't recover from a bad start. I know last week it was almost like too little, too late, and I know Caleb came alive, but it didn't happen in this game because of what you said. The Arizona defense, just they outclassed the Bears offensive line and the Bears offense. I mean, thumbs up to them, because I didn't have a whole lot of respect for the Arizona defense going into this game.
They were the worst defense in the NFL on third down situations, and the Bears went 3 for 14 on third downs today. That tells you something, right? Like you just went up against the lowest bar that you could have to clear, and you face planted into it, chipped a couple teeth, you know, gave yourself two black eyes, probably a bloody nose. It just, that's what today was. And it's just like, I don't know how they regroup on Monday, Tuesday, and before practice on Wednesday to restore the belief that they had coming out of London, because this has been shaken significantly these last 2 weeks. And look, like Caleb himself said after the game, that he just felt like this team didn't get past the Washington loss as quickly as they needed to. And so you talk about, oh, it's just one loss. No, like now one became two, and now you got to prevent two from becoming three, and you've got to understand what's coming. You know, like we are in the month of November. That's the stretch starting less than 2 weeks from now. Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, you're going to get a true taste of who you are as a football team. And if you don't get this cleaned up quickly, man, the embarrassment that you're going to feel heading into the month of December, it's going to be pronounced, Mark.
And then just for the heck of it, after that, at San Francisco, yeah, at Minnesota, home, I think home against Detroit after that. So it is, man, they better get their acts together. Let's get to what you kind of alluded to, and that was the biggest problem, in my opinion, and I think maybe yours as well, on the field. The Bears' run defense was atrocious. They allowed 213 yards on the ground. Your guy, James Conner, 18 carries for 107 yards. That's almost 6 yards per carry. Dan, please tell me that Montez Sweat not being in there really actually meant that much. Are they helpless without Montez Sweat?
I mean, I think you feel a little bit helpless without the combination of Montez Sweat and Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, right? Like three guys that can probably help you stop the run better than they did it today. You were out there at practice on Friday. The Montez Sweat situation, as the week unfolded, got increasingly more mysterious. You know, Matt Eberflus explained it after today's game that there's pain in his shin, and that when he worked out before the game today, he just wasn't able to turn the edge without significant pain. I hope it's really, really significant pain, Mark, because that's one of your highest paid players and one of the guys that you count on every single week. And I know Montez Sweat hasn't missed a lot of football games in his career up to this point. I think only one season prior to this that he missed a single game at all. But man, like you want to see him in a moment like this step up and meet it. He wasn't out there today. The Bears struggled to stop the run. They need Gordon back. They need Brisker back. They need to be as close to full strength as possible on defense. But you still shouldn't be giving up 148 yards in the first half to the Arizona Cardinals on the ground. You know, you've got enough players to tackle. You've got enough guys to rally to the football and put a guy on the ground. And they didn't do it. And it became a consistent problem. And then the gates opened and they couldn't get him shut.
Jervon Dexter, got to talk about him. He has made a, they are missing big plays from him recently. I know, I think he's still at 4.5 sacks for the season. Not that I expect this guy to stay at the pace that he was. But man, another huge penalty. Jervon Dexter, what is called a leverage play, unsportsmanlike conduct. Second quarter, it's 7-6 Arizona. Chris Williams comes up with it, to his credit, man. Chris Williams comes up with a huge sack on third and goal as Arizona is threatening to score.
Red zone defense again, right? You've got your stop inside the red zone.
You got your stop inside the red zone, exactly. But even that came undone today. They settle. Arizona settles for a field goal, but Dexter put his hand on the defender's back for leverage. You cannot do that. That I know they don't call that a ton, but it does get called. You got to know better than that. Arizona gets the ball back. One of the most dreadful things in football is when the team gets the ball back. Usually it's for roughing the punter, but they get the ball back in the red zone. Trey Benson, a touchdown to make it 14-6 Arizona. Just another killer penalty and another team taking advantage of a mistake that you make.
Yeah, it's a huge swing moment. There's no question. A little bit of a ticky-tack penalty, no question. I would imagine that the Bears will turn that into the league and seek an explanation. Maybe by the time we get to Thursday and Richard Hightower's up at that lectern at Hallis Hall, we'll have a better explanation of what the league said on that one. But that's a huge moment in the football game. And again, this is just what has been happening to this team, is they just are creating their own adversity and then unable to overcome it. And, you know, look, like Ryan Poles was on the official Bears pregame show before the game, saying that he felt like his team was in a good place, that they were locked in and aligned, and everybody kind of rallied through everything that happened in Washington. While they weren't locked in and aligned and rallied through anything for the 3 hours of the week that mattered the most on Sunday, because that was a performance today that was disappointing on every single level. And you know, that is, again, like we're losing the volume of words that we need to describe an organization that just constantly trips on its own feet. And that's what this felt like today, was a trip on your own feet thing a week after the brutal Hail Mary loss in Washington. And now the recovery process just feels so much more daunting.
What'd you think about the Bears going for it on fourth down, fourth and 10? Because I should back up a little bit. Late in the third quarter, it's 24-9 Arizona. The Bears did convert on a fourth and four. I think it was Caleb to Keenan Allen. A nice play, good play call, the whole thing. Next series, Caleb gets sacked on third and 10, and then they go for it on fourth down. What did you think about that?
I didn't think much of it, to be honest with you, and I know that there will be some criticism of it. I just, you're in a football game where you needed to go show some urgency to score points, and it was, you're just at that juncture where you're two scores behind, and you just got to convert something at that point. It's a long shot, no question, but the win was a long shot, and you've got to try to put yourself in that position. Didn't take major exception to that. I don't know if you thought otherwise on that. Obviously, it didn't work out, and they gave Arizona a short field to add to their lead. But I do think there's just certain points in games where you have to recognize, like, this, it's now or never, and that felt like one of those moments.
Well, let's put it this way, Dan. I hated that they had to go for it.
I
had a pretty strong feeling that they weren't going to convert on it, but it's that's what makes me mad, is that they got themselves to that point where, yes, you had to go for it right there. This game was, I mean, you were in desperation territory. Unfortunately, Chad Ryland hits a 55-yard field goal. They go up 27-9 at that point. So, yeah, I mean, and I think that's you don't. Well, I did not think the Bears would be in a desperation situation late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter of this game.
No question. One of the only bright spots in this football game today was the kicking of Cairo Santos. Two 53-yard kicks, including one in the first half when the roof was open and it was like hailing. There was one of these desert hailstorms that we're also used to out here in Arizona. Yeah, it's just going to pour rain and dump hail in the middle of State Farm Stadium. And Cairo kept his poise through all that and hit the first of two 53-yarders, I think that one was. And then they shut the roof. And the blue sky that turned gray, that turned into a hailstorm, was no longer visible to us here inside because the roof was closed, and that's how it went for the rest of the afternoon.
Unbelievable. All right, as long as we're giving out positives, I'll give out, let's give it, because, man, this is gonna, we'll probably mention this once and then not again until things are straightened out. But Reddy Stewart gets in there and starts. He forces a fumble. Jacob Martin did have a sack in this game, so I guess there were a few moments that we could look at and say, good for you.
Yeah, to be clear, these are not game balls. We do not give away game balls after 20-point losses. And so these are just good for yous. And so there's a couple good for yous that we can distribute.
But
that's as good as it gets for a game like this. That performance was lackluster and ugly. And oh, by the way, just for our audience's knowledge, we're going to do a Take the North live on Monday.
Yes.
6:70 the score, 6 o'clock Chicago time. We're going to be on the air live doing the show, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to say after Matt Eberflus meets the media on Monday with players. Mark, they moved that time up for that you're lucky you're back there in Chicago. That's a 10:45 start, I think, for Matt Eberflus on Monday morning. I'm going to be in the air. They've never done it at 10:45 in the morning. So I'm going to be 12,000 feet in the sky. Is that how high you are? I don't know.
Sounds right.
Where we are in the flight. Right. It's way up there. And so I'm going to miss that, unfortunately, because it's at a time that they've never done it
before. They're trying to keep you out, man. That's what's going on here. They're worried about that. The bulldog weeder, man. That's what's happening here.
But this is a problem when you book a really, really early flight so you can be back for the 12 o'clock start, and then they do it while you're in the air. And I didn't need to get up early tomorrow, but now I have to get up early and I don't even get to participate. So
maybe the most in terms of just symbolic points of this game, we haven't even talked about the safety. I don't know how much you want to talk about that.
We get in tomorrow. We got an hour tomorrow.
We get into that, but really quick, then the Bears get the free kick. What the hell happened to Torrey Taylor?
No, that was an onside free kick. That was what they were going for. That's a free football. And that's another thing for Richard Hightower later on Thursday.
Okay.
They were attempting to put that ball. Arizona was prepared for it. Give them credit for kind of sniffing that one out and having guys there. And the guy made a nice catch on a football. But that was the design, was to get something up, get a guy that maybe not catch it, and then it's your ball to make a play on.
Okay. I was misled. I was misled by the TV broadcast. They were said, "Oh man, he botched the kick," and I'm like, "What? What could possibly have just happened?" Special teams. I mean, we haven't really given them a critique, but they did not stop Greg Dortch on that 27-yard punt return, which led directly to a Trey McBride touchdown as well.
Oh yeah, the Trey McBride touchdown out of the Matt Nagy playbook, the tight end jet sweep that backfired on the Bears a couple times back in the Nagy era. The Cardinals were able to get something out of it. Trey McBride in the end zone. I don't know. I don't even have Kyler Murray's final numbers in front of me, but it didn't feel like he really had much of a major impact on the football game. And they walk out of here with a 20-point lead. You would not have been able to convince me of that on our 20-point win. You would not have been able to convince me of that before the game started.
Yeah, no, he did not seem like a big factor. He was 13 of 20, 154 yards. Zero touchdowns and zero interceptions.
Ho hum, right? Like ho hum.
Ho hum. And as far as his running is concerned, just two carries for 6 yards. So I thought he would do, but that was what I was worried about, not necessarily the running games. Because quite frankly, James Conner has had a lot of duds this year for getting great running back, but he hasn't been totally consistent this year. Couple other quick hits before we get out of here. And one of those has to be Tyreek Stevenson, Dan. He did not start. He did enter the game late in the first quarter of Arizona's third drive. Terrell Smith did start, who looked very good, even though he ended up getting injured. What did you think about that? And were you around for Tyreek Stevenson talking in the locker room afterwards?
So my colleague, Colleen Kane, had him cornered in the scrum today. And so she was able to get to some of the bottoms of the things that went on. It sounds like on Wednesday, when he was informed that he wouldn't be starting, it kind of hit him hard. And he left the walkthrough for a few minutes to go collect himself and gather himself. That was reported early in the day by Fox's Jay Glazer, but there's a little more nuance to it because it didn't feel like it was a storm out of practice. It was just a guy trying to get himself under control before he came to the walkthrough. The Bears didn't seem to raise an eyebrow at it, but it was just another shred of evidence or an anecdote that just tells you how turbulent the week was there at Housall, right? Like, it just was not a normal week. You were there the whole time. You felt the vibes that were in that building. And that happens from time to time. And the Bears didn't handle it well. And then their vows to handle it well, clearly didn't pay off because they lost by 20 points. And Tyreek Stevenson, to his credit, played a pretty decent football game and probably got more extended action than he was planning on, because Terrell Smith hurt his ankle and was out for much of the, say, if not all, the second half. And so a very turbulent week for Tyreek Stevenson. I give him credit for playing the football game that he played today, but I don't think that storyline is over just yet. They've got to stack some performances together and make sure that his head's on and screwed on tightly.
As the great Pat Hughes says on Cubs radio, buckle your seatbelts, folks, because it's going to be another interesting week at Halas Hall, and just with everything, just with a horrible loss, many injuries to sort through, looking ahead to now the next most important game, home against New England before, as we've mentioned several times now, you go through that gauntlet of games. Dan, any final thought before I let you actually go home and relax in your hotel room before your early wake-up call tomorrow?
Yeah, no, I don't have many thoughts that I haven't shout it out here with great passion and anger this evening. It's just it's hard to believe that we're in this place. And again, 4-4, you didn't expect to be here at 4-2. And it's not just 4-4. It's the way they got here those last 2 weeks that leave you with that unsettled feeling that this team isn't in the place that they need to be in to get this season turned around. There's sometimes you're in a place like this and you feel like, oh, they just got to shore up a couple things and they'll be in good shape. Don't have that feeling.
My final thought is that when we do talk to Matt Eberflus, he is going to take responsibility for every single thing that went wrong to just nip it in the bud this week. So he's not, I mean, there will have been like DJ Moore will be on the score early in the morning, but he is not going to let this be another week where the players completely rule what is going on. So I think that's going to be important. You're going to hear a different sounding Matt Eberflus. I think it already started after the game, and even during his in-game interviews, he sounded different. So it's going to be very interesting to see it, how it all goes down. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this. It was a rough one. Bears lose to Arizona 29-9. We want to thank everybody seriously for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast. We are coming off a record month in October where we had 103 million downloads. Again, the Take the North live podcast will be live on 670 The Score starting at 6 o'clock on Monday night. Dan and I will be back here. What did I say? 103 million? 103,000.
No, it's 103 million. Let's go with that number. Let's go with that number. Huge crowds. We got huge crowds, bigger than you've ever seen.
I botched this thing twice. When I was on The Score the other day, I said 103 downloads. And Spiegel's like, oh, this is not very good. So 103,000. I'm sorry.
I like the million. The million numbers are good. That's going to help our bonus money.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, sincerely, we appreciate everybody listening and watching. It means a lot. Click and download, and we do appreciate it. For Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune and of The Score, for our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, who makes sure I speak correctly and speak in thousands as opposed to millions, thank you to Adam Studzinski, who's been crying for the last 2 hours. I am Mark Grody. Dan, this absolutely is Take the North.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.